In a few minutes, we will hear the familiar words of our liturgy. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee, and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Every Sunday and feast day, as we approach the Lord's table, we are called to imagine and participate in this heavenly scene. There are the angels and saints together in a state of glory, offering their everlasting worship. And we join them. When we come into the sanctuary to worship, we unite with the company of heaven in a never-ending cosmic Sanctus hymn. In our gospel reading, appointed for the feast of St. Michael and all angels, Jesus brings these two orders together, the saints and the angels. But he does not join them in the familiar image of heavenly choirs. At first glance, he seems to say nothing of glory or praise or worship. The passage begins with a question from the disciples. Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And it ends with a mysterious remark from the Lord. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Who are these little ones, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? According to Jesus, they are those who have humbled themselves, who have made themselves like children, without wealth or power or reputation or any means of self-protection. They are the saints. It would be better for us, Jesus says, to mutilate our bodies than to cause harm or offense to one of these little ones. Why? Because of their angels. Angels, glorious and terrible beings. The notion that righteous persons have guardian spirits was not new with Jesus and the Gospel of Matthew. It was a widespread belief in the ancient world, including among Jews. In several of the Psalms, angels appear as protectors of the righteous and faithful. The book of Tobit, a popular Jewish tale included in the Old Testament Apocrypha, tells how the archangel Raphael guides and protects the young man Tobias. But Jesus, speaking as it would seem about guardian angels, does not mention bristling invisible encampments or fierce avengers. That is not why we are told to respect the little ones of the kingdom of heaven. No, we are instructed by our Lord to honor the saints because their angels ceaselessly contemplate the face of God. Angels enjoy the uninterrupted vision of God that we fallen humans with our eyes of clay are denied in this life. Their whole existence is a doxology, a hymn of praise to the one whose unfailing beauty shines in their eyes. But as Christ's words to us here make clear, and as our liturgy affirms, when we think of those angels congregated in the heavenly throne room, we should not think of them as detached from us, totally and exclusively absorbed by the splendor of God. Their existence is intimately and antiphonally bound up with the lives of the saints. In a great and holy mystery not to be fully comprehended by us yet, we are there with them, just as we make their voices audible here below by our holy, holy, holy. So they, in their Trisagion hymn, lift up our spirits to the merciful gaze of the Father of lights. The host of the angels and the host of the saints are inseparable. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, angels are called ministers and ministering spirits. The word here used for ministering is liturgikos, the root of our word liturgy. The literal meaning is work for people. The angels of God exist to serve and not to be served. Returning to the words of Jesus in our gospel lesson, we may notice that the humility of the angels parallels the humility of the little ones, who become like children for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. They turn themselves wholly over to the Father. They become transparent to his actions. The Old Testament often vacillates when describing some divine action between referring to God or his angel as the agent. The action of the angel is the action of God. Angels show up many times in the Bible, but they are rarely named. They convey no sense of personality or self-interest. They have no other purpose, no other mission than the Father's. The will and the glory of these glorious servants of God is to have no other will than the Father's. Is this not also the aspiration and destiny of the saint? To give oneself up wholly to the great work of God, to be conformed to the Blessed Son in his conforming to the will of the Father. St. Paul teaches us that in the life to come, the saints will judge the angels. In one ancient interpretation of this passage, it is understood that the righteousness of the saints who persevere through faith will put the fallen angels who abandoned heavenly glory to shame. But if the righteousness of the saints disgraces the demons, it is also to the glory of the holy angels who have served God truly alongside and for the good of their human charges. Angels shine with heavenly light because they have made themselves entirely transparent to the glory of God. They are the exalted counterparts of the saints who, by the incarnation of the Son, will be yet more glorious than they, shining like the stars. With the saints, angels continually contemplate the face of God, not simply for their own benefit, but for us on our behalf. For them and through them, the entire creation is the great throne room of God. St. Clement of Alexandria wrote many centuries ago that the Christian, quote, prays in the society of angels as being already of angelic rank, and he is never out of their holy keeping. And though he pray alone, he has the choir of the saints standing with him. As we celebrate the communion of our Lord Jesus on this high holy day, let us remember that in our communion with Jesus, we enjoy the communion with these two heavenly orders, the angels and the saints, alike mirrors of Christ in his beauty and reflecting his light in and to one another. They intercede for us. They participate in the sacrificial love of Jesus for us. They teach us that worship is perfected in humility, in giving ourselves for the other. Let us join them again this evening.